So what you say matters. Your words always have a direction for where they're heading, and how you use your mouth, as we know, you girls all know this, how you use your mouth reflects what's going on inside, right? It could either expose really serious problems going on inside, or it could expose some spiritual growth that's going on inside. And remember back to the trees in the first lesson. Those two trees, the main difference between them was the roots, right? And the roots were the hearts of people. So if a person's heart is spiritually healthy, then it produces good, godly living and godly speech. And if they have a corrupt, shallow, weak heart that's not attached to Christ, then they're not going to have good fruit. They're going to have words that demean and tear down other people. They will slander and gossip and lie and different things like that. So today we're going to look at the issue of our tongues and our speech. What comes out of our mouth, or sometimes what doesn't come out of our mouth that should, is a big indicator of what's going on inside. So we're going to contrast basically the sinful heart and the sinful speech that comes out, and then the godly heart. So number one, a selfish tongue, here's your blanks, a selfish tongue reveals a prideful heart. A selfish tongue reveals a prideful heart. So think with me, what do all of these things have in common? Complaining, gossip, slander, lying, backtalking, bad mouthing, exaggerating, sarcasm, telling secrets, angry outbursts, yelling, shouting, bitter words, being sassy, flattery, refusing to speak or answer someone, and omitting the full truth. What do they all have in common? I kind of gave it away already. They are all sins of the tongue, right? As a Christian, we are told to flee those things. Don't go near them. Stay far away from them. They're evil and wicked. So we're going to actually walk through the book of Proverbs. You can open your Bibles to Proverbs, and we'll go in a circle reading some different verses. We're going to go down this list that you have, and we're going to look at first what God says about the heart of somebody who uses their words in ungodly ways. So the first section here is going to be mostly focusing on the heart of what's going on inside. So Proverbs 1. So I'll start, and then we'll go around maybe this way with Emma, and we'll just kind of each read the next one in line. So Proverbs 1, 28 through 31. It says, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me earnestly, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahweh. They were not willing to accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their way and be satisfied with their own devices." So this person hates God's word and rejects his ways. Proverbs 2, 12 through 13. So Emma, you can read that one.
"To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who forsake the paths of the uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness."
Okay, so this person would rather walk in darkness than in uprightness and light. Okay, so then Proverbs 5, 12 through 14. What does that one say?
"And you say, how I have hated discipline, and my heart spurned reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my instructors, and I have not inclined my ear to my teachers. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation."
Okay, so this person does not like being corrected. They don't like taking advice from others. Proverbs 6, verse 12 and 14 to 15.
"A vile person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth. Who with perversity in his heart continually devises evil, who spreads contentions, therefore his disaster will come suddenly. Instantly he will be broken and there will be no healing.
Okay, so again, this person is manipulative. They plan to let their tongues just act out on their feelings, but God will shatter them into pieces. It's interesting the word that they use here. It says he will be broken, and that's the same word when Moses took the stone tablets and broke them into a ton of pieces to symbolize that Israel had broken God's law. They were not obeying it. And so that's what's going to happen to those people who are devising or planning out their evil or their lack of control. Next one is Proverbs 6:16-19.
There are six things which Yahweh hates, even seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked thoughts, feet that hasten to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers.
Okay, so sin doesn't stop with the tongue. It starts actually with your eyes, with your body language, and the sighs and the grunts. It starts with the outward, goes to the tongue, then it continues on to the hands. It just, you can see it gets worse and worse. Proverbs 7, verses 10 through 11 and 21.
And behold, a woman has come to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious, her feet do not dwell out.
Okay, and then verse 21.
With her abundant persuasion, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she drives him to the fault.
Right there. So this one, that's talking about the adulterous woman, which is later down the road. If she's practicing these things as a younger person, she's somebody who's known for being loud and really stubborn. She uses her words to flatter others and be flirty to get attention or make others just give in to whatever she wants because she's frustrating them. Proverbs 9:13-18, kind of a longer section here.
The woman of foolishness is boisterous, a woman of simplicity, and does not know anything. She sits at the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high places of the city, to call to those who pass by that way, who are making their paths straight. Whoever is simple, let them turn in here. And to him who lacks a heart of wisdom, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that those she called are in the depths of Sheol.
Okay, so the prideful girl, she shows a heart that's lazy with her commitments, and then she makes excuses for why she didn't get them done. She tries to bring others into her sin so that she doesn't feel so bad. She wants immediate gratification or immediate answers for things. She's not willing to have diligence or patience. And then her heart ultimately is shown to be dead to spiritual things. She's not interested in spiritual growth. So all of these are manifestations of pride on the inside, and then selfishness comes out. So now let's look at the second section. A sinful tongue destroys relationships. For the blanks to fill in there. A sinful tongue destroys relationships. If the first point was the things going on in the heart, now we'll look at some of the ways that your mouth can affect other people and maybe even ruin relationships. And think about it for yourself. Think about how your words are used in your relationships. Keep in mind that if you're willing to use your tongue in these ways now, with your parents or your friends or your siblings, you're going to be doing the same things to your husband or to your kids or to other grown men and women in the church. Okay, so think of it in terms of yourself as we're reading through these. Proverbs 10, verses 11 through 14.
The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near.
Okay, so the foolish girl makes excuses for how she talks. She talks about things that aggravate hatred in other people or in herself. She lacks wisdom, and then it says she brings other people to ruin. Proverbs 10:18-19.
He who covers up hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads a bad report is a fool. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who holds back his lips has insight.
Okay, so the negative side there is the girl who lies, gossips, she slanders, she spreads information about others that's either untrue, or maybe it is true, but it's just unkind. She says whatever she's thinking with no filter and no self-control for how it might affect somebody else. Proverbs 11:9a and 10b. So Lily, that's the first part of chapter 9, verse 9, and then the second part of 10.
With his mouth, the godless man corrupts his neighbor. And when the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting.
Okay, so she takes advantage of others, she tears them down, and then she causes people to avoid her, right? When the wicked perish, there's joyful shouting. People don't want to be around her, okay, if she's like this kind of a person. Proverbs 11:13.
Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered.
Okay, so she slanders others. She shares confidential information that people trusted her with. She goes, hey, don't tell anybody, but she goes and shares it, right? How about Proverbs 12:4?
An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones.
Okay, so as a young lady, again, she's on the path to becoming a wife who's going to shame or discourage her husband instead of building him up. She might even ruin his reputation. I've seen that happen too. Proverbs 12:16-19.
A fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceives. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment.
Okay, so she lets everybody know when she's upset or angry. She has a pattern of using half-truths or complete falsehoods. She doesn't have self-control, and she breaks the trust of others, which is really hard to build back. Proverbs 13:7.
There is one who pretends to be rich but has nothing. Another pretends to be poor but has great wealth.
Okay, so that's exaggerating to either make herself look really good or exaggerating to make herself look pitiable and have others put attention on her. She lets her feelings control her. Proverbs 15:2. Emma, I'll let you take that one.
The tongue of the wise makes knowledge look good, but the mouth of the fools pours forth folly.
Okay, so she talks about worthless, worldly things. She knows more about the latest gossip than she does about Bible verses and scripture. Proverbs 15:27.
He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates gifts of bribery will live.
Okay, so she's anxious for others to think well of her, so she's going to flatter them, maybe try to bribe them either with words or even with things in order to receive attention back herself. So she's basically friends with somebody for what she can get out of it. Proverbs 16:30.
He who winks his eye does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass.
Okay, so this one's interesting. There's times when silence is deceitful and wicked. Do you know that? If you just think, I'm just not going to talk and then I won't mess up and I won't sin, you're wrong. Sometimes that actually can be a form of pride in order to punish somebody else by not responding to them or just to put them down. Or it's just selfish to not acknowledge them. Think of how it feels when you go talk to somebody and they just like look the other way or they just walk away. Like you feel really little, right? You feel ignored. You feel really demeaned. That's putting down what God has made in his own image. And so even sometimes silence is not the right answer. Sometimes you do need to speak up with different things. These are all pretty rotten ways to use our tongues, right? This is the depressing part. This is why I started with this part. We speak this way sometimes, right? Have any of you done any of these? Have any of you done any of these this week? Yep, I think all of us have, right? We need Christ to clean out our hearts. We need him to clean out our mouths too. Sometimes when I was little and I would say unkind things to my sibling, my mom would wash my mouth out with soap. I had to put soap in my mouth and it was disgusting. And she's like, that is going to teach you to not use those kind of words again. And it did. Well, there is hope when the Holy Spirit is in us. So our third point is a sanctified tongue, or if you just want to put a holy tongue, the sanctified keeps with the S theme. A sanctified tongue builds relationships. A sanctified tongue builds relationships. So we're going to keep going here. Proverbs 12, 14. We'll go back a little bit, and then there's still an order, but we're just going to go back to chapter 12.
A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the good deed of a man's hand will return to him.
Okay, so this girl, the godly girl, she knows that the fruit or the speech coming out of her mouth is something that she doesn't have to be ashamed about. She can think back to her past conversations and not regret them. Proverbs 12, 18 through 20.
There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthfulness will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment.
And then one more verse. Deceit. Yeah.
Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors would be tough gladness.
Okay, so this girl, we read verse 18 earlier in the negative context. This girl, she contemplates what she says. She contemplates before she says it. She thinks what to say first. She helps heal and fix broken relationships instead of blurting things out and making them worse. And others, it says, seek her out for good advice. Counselors have of peace have gladness in her. Proverbs 12, 23 and 13:3.
A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. The one who guards his mouth keeps his soul. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin.
Okay, so this is another really good one. Even if she knows more than somebody else about the Bible, about some other topic, sometimes she doesn't have to share everything she knows. She knows that God is going to work in other people's lives. She's not the one to try to change that person's heart. Sometimes she has to use self-control to not speak everything that she knows. Proverbs 12, 25.
Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad.
Okay, this is another one. They're all just so good. So in this one, she doesn't give in to worry or fear. That can weigh you down, right? When you're worried about something. But instead, she focuses on encouraging and blessing others. And that's actually one thing that a lot of the pastors here will counsel people who are really depressed or sad or lonely or anxious about something. And one of the things they say is, go serve other people. Go do something for somebody else, because it takes your focus off of being inward and it puts it outward, and it actually brings you a lot of joy. It's really a neat verse. Proverbs 14, verse 5 and 6.
A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness brings out lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to one who has understanding.
Okay, so the godly girl has integrity. Other people have confidence in her character. They know she's going to do what's right and tell the truth. And it also becomes easier over time to tell what is a wise decision, because she's practiced ahead of time obeying God's word and knowing what it says. Proverbs 15, 1 through 2.
A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge look good, but the mouth of fools pours forth folly.
Okay, so instead of blowing up in anger when she's mad, or even just closing up and refusing to deal with a problem, she responds graciously and gently, and that can both solve a problem in the moment, but also the other person might feel embarrassed at how they responded inappropriately. And even then, she's still kind and gracious. She doesn't rub it in their face and say, well, I was more godly than you. And she's gentle and she's compassionate and she's turns away wrath. She makes wrath go away from the situation. Proverbs 15, 23.
To make an answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season. How good it is.
Mm-hmm. She is ready to encourage. She knows God's word, and so she's ready in any situation to bring it to her mind and be able to speak to somebody's situation and encourage them. Think about like people who always seem to know just what to say, right? Well, because they've practiced a lot in their mind. They bring up scripture in their mind. Proverbs 16:21.
The word of the heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness.
Okay, so the girl with the sanctified tongue has blessing in her life. She's able to speak wise and godly words, and God puts her in unique opportunities and situations because he knows her character will be trustworthy and she will not sin. She's going to hold fast. Her character is steady, so God's going to give her opportunities that other people might not be given. Proverbs 16:32.
He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures his city.
Okay, so this one is interesting. Basically, the girl who has self-control over her tongue and her emotions, it says she's considered stronger than our U.S. military soldiers. Like, what? That doesn't sound right. She is. She, in God's eyes, it's more important that she can rule over her emotions and her spirit, is the word here translated, but what comes out of her mouth as well, that's more important than being able to take over an entire city and become governor or president. And then Proverbs 17:8-9.
A bribe is a charm in the eyes of its owner. Wherever he turns, he prospers. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close companions.
Okay, so she doesn't try to bribe others or puff up the popular kids so that they'll include her, but she focuses on who God wants her to be. And then it says she covers a transgression with love, and 1 Peter 4:8 says something similar. It says love covers a multitude of sins. Does that mean you ignore? No, it means you actually forgive and you work out your problem quietly or privately instead of, and then you forgive that person and you don't be nitpicky about every little thing that bothers you about that person. So we could keep going on for hours with the Proverbs, but we have to stop. The whole book is so good and it talks so much about our mouths. So we're going to go to the last point here, a submissive tongue. A submissive tongue reveals a saved heart. And I'll do these ones. I'm just going to summarize these verses so you don't have to turn there. We'll go fast. But here's a few verses that show our submissive tongue and the heart behind that. We talked about the outward part of the heart that is good in point three. Now this is the inward part of the good heart. So Matthew 12:33-37 tells us that we're responsible for every word that comes out of our mouth. But that also means every good word that comes out demonstrates that God's working in us and we're able to hold our tongues or to say something that is kind and good and encouraging and lifting up in the moment. God's Spirit is working in our hearts. Romans 14:18-19 says that we're to pursue peace and building up of other people instead of doing things that would cause them to stumble into sin, because our heart's goal is to please God with our words. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, that one tells us how if we understand that God loves us, then that motivates us to love other people, to be patient and kind, not jealous, not boastful, to forgive them, to bear their burdens, to believe the best about them, and to be willing to go through trials with them. Galatians 5:22-23, that's the fruits of the Spirit. Think about these fruits of the Spirit. I'll list them. But think about how they relate to other people. Okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you see how they're relational? Right? You can't practice them unless you have somebody there with you. And you probably need to talk to that person at some point, right? If you're with other people. So then that gives you an opportunity to practice the fruits of the Spirit. And then Ephesians 4:25-32, if we have Christ in us because of God's incredible forgiveness of us, then our hearts are going to want to obey his command to be gentle and forgiving and loving towards those around us, even when it's super hard to do. Colossians 3:16 says that we should be overflowing with thankfulness to God. Rather than complaining, we should be so overwhelmed at how much the Lord has done for us that we don't deserve, that he's loved us, he's forgiven us. And so our nasty, dirty, sinful tongues are going to want to speak words that are life-giving instead of death-giving. So destroying versus building. We commit more sin with our tongues than any other part of our body. Do you know that? You commit more sin with your tongue than any other part of your body. Everybody sins in this area, and usually it's the first sin of the day because you wake up and you complain about something. You're discontent, you're cranky or grumpy, or this hurts, or I'm tired, I want to stay in bed, I don't want to do this. Usually we wake up and we just sin first thing in the morning. Everybody has to constantly keep evaluating the ways that they're failing in this area. Author Tim Challies once asked a man, "Why are you in demolition?" This guy was a guy who would drive this big old truck and he'd knock over buildings and houses to tear them down. And he asked him, "Why are you in demolition?" The man replied, "Because it's a whole lot easier than construction and it pays better too." And then he writes, "Later I found myself thinking about how much more difficult it is to build than to destroy. And how I found myself thinking how strange it is that this man had become wealthy by tearing down what others had so carefully built up." It takes work to build things up, right? It takes work to construct and to work so hard at those relationships and friendships and to make them go in a godly way. It's so much easier and faster to tear people down intentionally or unintentionally. Don't assume that this is for somebody else. Assume it's for you. We've read dozens of verses tonight on our tongue, and what is in our hearts will come out our mouths. Your words will either justify you by demonstrating you do have a heart that's changed by God, you are working on your speech, or they will condemn you and show your heart has some pretty yucky things in it and you're not willing to deal with it. In closing, I just want you to imagine that tonight when you get home, your parents sit you down after anchored, you go home, you sit down in the living room, and your parents say, "We're going to listen to a recording of everything you said this week. We're going to play it for the whole family to hear." What would you be proud of? What would you be embarrassed of? Chances are there's probably things on both. Right? There's probably things that you think, "Oh, I should not have said that." Or things maybe that you think, "You know what? I was able to encourage that person." Think through your words. You're responsible for every one of them that flies out of your mouth. Hopefully, the words that you say are not words that would break the Lord's heart. But we can find hope in God's forgiveness. There is forgiveness for every word that has come out of our mouth. And so because of God's transforming power in us, we can ask him to keep changing us and say, "Lord, my mouth still needs some work. Help me work on my speech." And he can and he will do that. He will change our hearts. So there is great hope in that. Ask him to keep changing you. Keep making you more like Jesus with your words. So we will pray and close off this portion, and then we'll do our discussion time. Father, I thank you again for your word. Thank you for so many verses here that talk about the tongue. They are difficult to listen to, and there's so much more that you say in your word, but I pray that this would challenge our hearts, that we wouldn't be without hope and super discouraged, but that we would confess where we need to, that we'd repent, that we'd make things right, and that we would work on our tongues, and you give us the strength, Lord, to do that. We ask these things in your name. Amen.